Amen. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, tonight and open up to Acts chapter number 27 in the Word of God this evening. Acts chapter number 27 in the Word of God tonight. And for those of you who are visiting with us, we've been in a series now over the last several weeks, looking really at the last journey of Paul. Paul kind of heading into the last of his ministry here on this earth. And we're looking at a turbulent journey over the last several weeks before we head into this new series after our revival services, and it's really been a great reminder for us that we too really are in the last days. We know that Jesus Christ is going to return very soon, and before Jesus Christ returns, the Bible is very clear that Christians living on this earth, we too are going to face some turbulent times. Now, understand, we live very blessed lives, and I'm thankful for the United States of America. I'm thankful for the freedoms that we have, but we do understand that the more wicked the world gets, it's getting closer and closer, and we see that the biblical timeline and the dispensational period that we're in, we are getting very close to hearing that trumpet sound. Now, before we get all down and depressed, and well, I've accomplished everything I want to, how many are thankful that we are going to hear that trumpet sound? Would you say amen tonight? We ought to be thankful for that. We ought to be looking for that blessed hope. And I understand, I know our college students and teenagers are in here tonight. I've told the story several times that it was my earnest prayer, and I really did. I prayed the night before our wedding. I just knew that the Lord was going to come back, and I couldn't marry my girl and my dream, you know, Carrie Clayton at the time. And I just knew the Lord was going to come back, and He didn't come back, and I'm thankful for that. But now that I have five kids, anytime, Lord, you know what I mean? But understand that we know the Lord is going to come back. We ought to be excited about that. But also we know that we're going to face some turbulent times. So through this series, what I love about the Word of God is that it is so applicable for you and I living today. And so I want us to once again look at Acts chapter number 27. Would you please stand with me for the reading of God's Word? And if your health allows you to tonight, Acts chapter number 27. I want us to look once again at verse number 14. Verse number 14 here in the Word of God of Acts chapter 27. The Bible says this: "But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Laracidon." Verse number 15. "And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive." This evening, I want to once again look at the subject, a turbulent journey. Let's go to Him in prayer. Father, Lord, I ask that You'd meet with us tonight. Father, I know that we're all in here as a congregation this evening, and so, Father, help this to be applicable from the child that is sitting in here to the adult who has been saved for 50-plus years. Your Word is so powerful that, Father, it can speak to both life stages. And, Father, I ask that it would not return void this evening. That, Father, once again, we would not be afraid of the conviction, but, Father, we'd welcome it. That, Father, we'd welcome the encouragement from the Word of God tonight. Father, I ask, Lord, that You'd be with those who are traveling, many traveling this evening over spring break. Lord, bring them back safely, Father, and be with those who couldn't be here because of health reasons. Father, I ask, Lord, that You'd be with those who are watching via live stream tonight. Father, be with them. Help them to be encouraged through the Word this evening. And Father, whether they're sitting at the kitchen table or sitting in the den or the living room on the couch, or maybe, Father, laying on their bed or in their bedroom this evening, Father, help them to be in the Word and be encouraged and convicted, and help them to stay in tune this evening. We love You, Savior. In Your Son's holy and precious name I pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Over the last several weeks in this passage of Scripture, we saw in verses number 1 through 3, that passage of Scripture dealt specifically with Paul's friends. Number 1, Paul's friends. Then we saw over the last several weeks in verses number 4 through 12, Paul's warning. Secondly, we saw Paul's warning. Remember, as they head into this turbulent time, Paul was not an amateur. But Paul began to warn these passengers and even the captain of the ship that if they are going to continue in this journey, that he perceived and knew from God that they were going to run into some very turbulent times. And they were going to face some storms during this time. The time that they are sailing is not a normal time that most boats would be sailing. In fact, the Bible is very clear that they finally found a ship that was going to be sailing at this time, because as they headed into this fall season, this is not really a time that would be the normal type of period that you would see people making this journey that they are about to journey on. Paul has waited for 2 years for this moment, and we saw Paul's warning. But now as we head into the last part of this passage of Scripture, we also, number three, as we saw this past week in verse number 13, we saw Paul's wreck. Would you look with me at verse number 13 as we laid a foundation here last week? Verse number 13 here of Acts chapter 27 says this: "And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete." Now comprehend this as we saw last week. The Bible is very specific that it says it just like this: the south wind blew softly, as it so often does, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, as we saw last week, as we so often do. We begin to lay this foundation that you and I have to beware when the south wind blows softly. Too many have been lured away by this soft south wind. It is all too easy to take seemingly favorable circumstances as the deciding factor in a matter of guidance and ignore the sterner counsel of the Word of God, or counsel from those who have already been through these turbulent times. There are many today, as we saw this past week, that are not listening to the will of God because circumstances seem to align with what they want out of life. Now comprehend, now teenager, I want you to listen. I know you weren't here, but I preached this message last week that oftentimes in our life, there is that soft south wind that seems to go with what we want out of life. Do we comprehend that God gives us a will in life? Without a doubt. But we also have to understand, for every young person in here tonight, whether you're 7 or 8 years old or all the way up to senior, that not only is God going to put a path in your life, but also Satan is going to put a path in your life. And as I, for the last 3 years, have dealt with college students over and over again and traveled through much of this country preaching, what we are seeing once again nowadays is those who are following a south soft wind. It seems to go along with what they want out of life. It seems to go with their aspirations and their dreams, and everything seems to be aligning. And yet we're finding today that our juniors and seniors in high school, they're not going by, well, what God wants for my life. They're not going by, well, I've been praying, or I've been fasting, or I've been seeking counsel on the matter. But no, all across this blessed country, what we are finding is that God has not stopped calling people to ministry, but it's that we have stopped listening. We have now begun to, well, it's my life, it's what I want, it kind of fits, it's this south soft wind that it feels good and it matches, and you know, it goes right along with what I've been working towards, and it's exactly what somebody else wants for my life. But friend, I said it last week, and I now that we have our young people in here, I just want to once again say, it's not always God's will. Don't take this out of context. I am not preaching this evening that it's God's will for everybody to go into ministry or for everybody to be a missionary or a pastor. Would that be wonderful? Without a doubt. Now, do we need it? Yes, we absolutely need it. But I am here once again to preach tonight that we have to be careful that we're not following everybody else's dreams for our life, or that we're not just living by Nike's slogan, just do it, and it's what I want, and you know what, I've been working for it, and you know what, I deserve it. But you and I have to be reminded that we are bought with a price. We are not our own. When we got saved, we now belong to Him, and what we need across our country is a group of young people that get their hearts so on fire for God and so revived that it's not what I want, what I've been working for, it's not me and my and I and boy, the south wind and everything just seemed to align with what I want. No, would we have a group of young people that would once again say, you know, I've been on my knees. I've been praying. I've been fasting. I've been seeking advice from my youth pastor and my youth pastor's wife and grandma and grandpa and those who, like Paul, have already seen the storm and they've already been through the tough times and they've seen these weather clouds before it. Would to God we'd have some young people that would once again hazard their life for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ instead of today just being in a generation. Now look, before you blame me, I'm right there with them as a millennial generation being so spoiled with me and my and what I want and I want it right now and this is mine and this is the best. No, would we have some young people that say, God, what do you want me to do with my life? Does anybody agree with that? Say amen tonight. Amen. Hey, parents, that's a great time. Do you know what? Maybe encourage our young people. That let God dream for them. Yeah. Let God dream for them. I mean, let me just put it this way. My son Tommy is in here this evening. God's dreams for this 11-year-old is far better than what mom and dad could dream of what we would want him to do with his life. Somebody help me out. Amen? Yeah. Without a doubt. You see, I am so afraid that we have gotten to this place that even adults, listen very carefully, we've come to this place where it seems like, well, the doors are wide open, and we're making decisions based on a corporate ladder, based on retirement, based on what we want to do out of life, and it's just this south soft wind, and, oh, it feels good, and it's just, God is so good, and can I just say, friend, if we're not seeking God's will, then be careful calling a south soft wind God. Sometimes it could be the opposite of Satan putting something in our life. And oftentimes we're seeing where people are making mega decisions in our life. And it has nothing to do with this book. It has nothing to do with God. It has nothing to do with the local church. It has nothing to do with spirituality at all. It just feels, well, very good. Can I just, look, if we get back to the Word of God, it says this. Paul said, if we go on this journey, it's not going to turn out well. Everybody in the ship said, that's okay. Let's not heed his advice. I mean, he's just a prisoner. I mean, who is this guy? Let's go with the captain. Let's go with him. They jump in, and all of a sudden, you know what they said? Well, the south wind it blew, and supposing they had attained their purpose. You know what, Paul? You're crazy. We're going to make it. We're going to be just fine. I tell you, friend, they're not going to be just fine. Friend, I've reached over and over for the last 3 weeks. We must, as a congregation, get back to what thus saith the Lord. It's not us, it's not our preference, it's not our standard, it's not who's in the White House, it's not Democrats, it's not Republicans, it's not MAGA, it's not liberals. Can I just tell you, friend, the only thing that is going to change this country and really bring real revival is God's people getting back to this book. And teenager, can I just tell you, I know you're in here and you're never in here on a Wednesday night, so it's really cool to have you in here tonight. I just want to be super frank with you because I love you. Let me put it like this. Let God use your life. If it's been a little while since you've asked him, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? Then I'm just telling you, junior, senior, you might feel a soft wind that's calling you to, and boy, it looks good, and it fits everything, and it's just right. And can I tell you, when's the last time you just got on your knees and just said, God, whatever you want me to do, that's what I'm going to do with my life? Maybe it is a plumber. Maybe it is a carpenter. Maybe it is a physical therapist. Maybe it is a doctor, lawyer. Maybe it is a missionary. Maybe it is a preacher. But I'm putting it this way. You're never going to know if you do not seek him. Seek him. Teenager, in my life, I never planned on being a preacher. I just didn't. I was at one of these that I was called to preach when I was 6 years old. Just never even crossed, Brother Jim, I'm just telling you, never crossed my mind. I was not 5 years old, and I went down to the altar, and I got baptized, and came up, I'm going to preach the gospel. It was not me. You know what I did? I surrendered one year of my life to go to Bible college.
You know the funny thing is, God did not work in my life in that 1 year. And then I began to realize I just put God in a little box of 365 days. And if he doesn't work, well, then he doesn't want me. And so I got out of that box and said, well, I guess I'll go another year. Another year. Finally, I'm wanting to get engaged to Carrie. And her father-in-law, my father-in-law now told me, I've always prayed that Carrie would marry a preacher. And I said, you know what? I've kind of always been called to be a preacher. Just kidding. That's not how it worked, okay? That's not how it worked. I'm just kidding. I understand that God, during my junior year, began to get a hold of my heart and gave me that calling to preach. I'll just be honest with you. I feel like I am the most blessed man in the world. I love what I do. I absolutely love it. I love, thank you, Brother George. I love Cross Point Baptist Church. I do. I love it. Now I know you say, well, you're in a honeymoon period. Well, let's just pray that honeymoon period lasts until the trumpet sounds. Amen? Amen. God can do that. He absolutely can. Let me tell you something, seniors in high school, I have never gone hungry. I've never starved. Moms, dads, you listen to this? I am as happy as a millionaire, and I'm not even close to a millionaire. You know why? Because I'm right where God wants me to be. Be careful of that south soft wind. Moms and dads, grandmas, grandpas, we ought to be seeking God each and every week on the behalf of the 50, 60 teenagers that are here at Cross Point Baptist Church. What if God got a hold of their hearts and a hold of their lives? I was told this past week by a parent, one of their boys feels the calling to preach. And I'm just telling you, I am so excited about that. But you know what I'm also excited about? Another parent that came up just last week and said, my daughter really feels like in her life she is called to and filled in the blank. And it's not full-time ministry. I'm here to tell you, I was just as excited for both. You know why? Because young people are seeking and searching God for what he wants them to do in their life. That's exciting. You see, verse number 13 is, well, they suppose it's going very well. Verse number 14, well, things pick up a little bit. Look at it with me. And not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called the Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up the wind, we let her drive. That means just let her go, let her fly. The ship was caught now in this typhoon, and it blew with such violence that now they're unable to face it. So instead, they're forced to run before it, and they're completely now at its mercy. There must have been this seeking feeling in the heart of the centurion, who no doubtless now had wished he had paid more attention to Paul. How many times, watch very carefully, are you and I faced with the reality of the storm, remembering the warning of others that God has allowed to be in our path? The book of Mark puts it like this, but take heed, behold, I have foretold you all things. You see, many are living their life with scars, not listening to those who have gone before, not listening to the word of God, not listening to the warning. In the multitude of counselors, there is safety, yes. And at times we hear that counsel, and yet we get away from it. And there are many that will live their entire life, and they get to the end, they get to that fourth quarter, if God allows them to live into the overtime of life, and then begin to look back at, you know, I wish I could do it over. Boy, if I could just go back. Boy, if I just do this. Boy, if I just would have heeded the warning. Boy, if I just would have listened to. If I only would have sown, or if I only would have been more involved, or if I only would have given my time, I could have restored that relationship. I could have been more active here. I could have won this co-worker to the Lord. I could have. And I'm afraid that many, although maybe they lived a successful life, although maybe they lived a happy life, friend, at the end of our life, how many like the centurion will begin to look back and say, boy, if I could just do it over, there are so many things that I would change. Friend, I'm here to tell you tonight, we cannot change the past, but we have our future in front of us. There are too many today that live looking back instead of reaching forward. There are so many today that look back at the missed opportunities of 2018 and 19 and 20 and now we've been 2021. Well, it's 3 months. I'm already behind on my Bible reading. I can't catch up, and I miss this opportunity. And boy, if I could just go back, friend, may we not live in the past, but may you and I continually look to the future. Look at verse number 16 as we move along here. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. Verse number 17, which when we had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail and were so driven. Now they're afraid as they were off course, and they're afraid that the boat is going to run aground, not to mention the taking on and the beating of the ship and the water that begins to come in. Look at verse number 18. And being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out our own hands, the tackling of the ship. And this is not good. Everything's going overboard. Verse number 20. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Think about the conditions on board and how frightful it must have been. This is a time where there's no guidance with electronics. There's no SOS. There's no phone. There's no flares that they're going to send up. Somebody's going to help them. And now days at sea, no sun, no stars. It's a black sky. Everybody hang on. Throw everything we can overboard. Just let her go. Hope we don't hit quicksand. Man, this is all hope was lost. Friend, can I be honest with you this evening? There are many in this room that have faced these type of storms before. All hope was lost. All hope was lost that teenager would ever come back. All hope was lost that marriage would ever be restored. All hope was lost and that, you know what, it's over. The marriage, we're calling it quits. Bankruptcy, it's right at our door. All hope was lost. The doctor said, here you go. Here's the outcome. Stage 3, stage 4. Not going to get over it. There's nothing we can do for you. There are many that go through life, and there are many even in our realm, in our circle, in our world, that will come across a storm like this. And it's during these times that you and I must be reminded that He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. That God is always going to be there with you and with me. You and I must quit acting like God is not there in the bad times, when many times we didn't talk to Him in the good times. There are many who will face a storm like this and, well, where is God during my storm? And where is God during this hard time? And where is God during this health crisis? And where is God during COVID-19? And where is God during this debt? And where is God during this teenager? And where is God during this marriage problem? And I'll just be honest, I'm kind of losing faith, friend. May you and I never get to the place where we stop losing hope. And it's not because God isn't there. It's because you and I were talking to Him before we ever entered into that storm. That's why you and I must be reminded daily that it's not religion that God is interested in. It is a relationship with Him. It is a relationship that daily goes to Him. I'm not talking about a 5-minute devotion. I'm not talking about a little checklist. I'm not talking about going through and, well, we got through our Baptist daily bread. Well, I filled in my little questions for today. Woohoo, I feel real good. No, I'm talking about how about once and for all, we put aside the time limit. We put aside the little, well, let's get through and we're done. No, what happened to you and I getting in, digging in, and having a real relationship with the one not only who can get us through that storm, but that controls the clouds, that controls the storm, that controls the water, that can absolutely in our life reach out. I don't care what the doctor says or the physician says or the banker says, can reach out and say, peace be still. And everything obeyed Him. What happened to our faith, friend? Oh, we want big faith when the trouble comes. What about big faith when things are going good? What happened to the faith of each and every day coming to Him and praying for big things to happen? Remember, it's the faith of a mustard seed. Thank goodness it's just a mustard seed, because I feel at times we living in this day and age don't even have that. The sad thing is, now look, the sad thing is oftentimes we don't need that. We have Visa, we have MasterCard, we have retirement, we have 401k, we have the good life. We got the doctor, we got Tylenol, we got ibuprofen, we got chemo. We've got our vaccine, we've got our masks, I'm just going to tell you, we put a lot of faith in everyone and everything, including Facebook, and the last person that we're going to is the very God who controls the storms. What if, Cross Point Baptist Church, we really, really begin to step out by faith? I'm talking about in the next 3 days, not just tonight, but this next week, getting down with our families on our knees and saying, God, I believe you're going to revive our hearts this next week. Look, friend, I'm going to tell you, we all live busy lives. But I'll just put it very plainly. I think, dads, we can find some time to pray with our family. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for this food. Bless our bodies. Nourishment, you say we pray, amen. And that's like as far as we go. But how serious, parents, how serious, grandparents, are we about this meeting that's about to come up? I think oftentimes we read a story like this, like, man, they got themselves a lot of trouble. I mean, how ridiculous am I? They're not even supposed to be selling this time of year, to be honest with you. You know, shame on them. But it's amazing that you and I live this same life. Look with me at verse number 21. But after, now watch the wording here. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, sirs, excuse me, ding 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 ding. Can I have everybody's attention, please? You should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss." Now tune in, watch right here for just a moment. I know many of you are like, I've never heard this story before, I want to read on. Now look, we're going to read on in just a minute. Just tune in and watch. They knew all too well, without a doubt, that Paul was a better seaman than them all. They knew now, the dude knew what he was talking about. There's no way they're sitting there saying, well, I still kind of believe the captain. They're hanging on for dear life for days now. They're puking. They have nothing to eat. It's gross. It's awful. It's every moment they think, this is it. We're going under. Every wave. No doubt they knew that Paul was telling the truth and that they should have listened to him. But it was not, however, Paul sitting here of a petty case of, you know what, I told you so. Hey, God, sirs, just be honest, everybody look up here. Na-na-na-boo-boo, I told you. That's not what Paul was doing at all. Paul only mentioned it to make sure the lesson had been learned before they would once again listen to him for what he is about to say. Paul is too far of a good Christian, or perhaps even a gentleman, we could say, to indulge in a mere self-vindication. The situation here was far too desperate for that type of rhetoric of, see, I told you so. You say, okay, Pastor, so what does that have to do with us? What I think you and I can learn from this situation is that when somebody falls, when somebody is in the storm, it's not a time for you and I to step up and to beat them down. It's not for you and I to remind them of the awful Christian that they've been, or for, well, you know, to be honest with you, did I not tell you that if you did this, your kids were going to go that way? And boy, if you just would have listened to me back in 1985, we just wouldn't be in this predicament at all. Or did I not tell you that if you treated him like that, he was going to leave, or she was going to leave? Or did I not tell you? No, friend, listen, understand this. When somebody falls, even here at Cross Point Baptist Church, you say, well, I hope that never happens. Well, God forbid it does, but let's be honest. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are none righteous, no, not one. That means this, check it out. Everybody in here tonight is a sinner. There's nobody in this room that is perfect. If you believe that, say amen. Like three of you. Well, for the three of you, you get it. nobody's perfect in here. I am not perfect. Shh, Carrie, don't say anything, okay? I'm not perfect. But neither are you. When a family member or somebody at the Crosspoint family falls, that's not a time for us to beat them down. Well, I told them that was going to happen. Yeah, I knew it. Uh-huh. Boy, George, we got together. Did we not say, remember, like, you know, circa 2020 in February that this was going to happen? Remember, Pastor, we got together and we began to talk and we said, we warned them. So let's go now that they're down in the mud, let's kick them even lower. Friend, I'm just here to tell you, there is such a word in the Word of God as restoration. And unfortunately, in the independent Baptist realm, it's a word that we have lost nowadays. Restoration is a help. It's a love. It's a pulling out. It's a being there for somebody. And when a teenager goes astray, and they will, it's not a time for you and I to remind their parents, yep, that's right. Well, just want to remind you, my kid's down there at Bible college, and they just won the preaching contest, but so sorry your kid's going through this. No, it is a time for you and I to reach out with love and compassion and kindness, even to that teenager that has gone astray. Why? Because one day they're going to go through a storm, and they're going to be sinking, and they're going to be going down, and they're going to be looking for help. And my friend, I'll put it like this. Satan is going to send somebody in their path to give them help. God forbid we're sitting on the sidelines laughing at somebody that's going through a hurt. Noah, may it be you and I that reaches out and helps that person when they're down in a storm. It's not Paul saying, yeah, guys, remember that time I said, I perceive we're going to go through a storm? Bet you listen to me now. No, Paul had something to say, and it was actually really good news. So friend, I think what you and I can pull from this scripture and apply to our life is this. Nobody's perfect. Let's help. You know, we hear in this area, just like in the South, often you talk to people. Well, I used to go to church, but you know, I was hurt in church, and they said this, and the deacon did this, and they hurt me here. So what are we supposed to do? Beat them down? I mean, is it? Look, let's be real honest. I know we got people watching via live stream. This is just as much for all of us. But watch, is it a time for us to say, you know, that's just a really awful excuse. Pretty silly. We can say the word stupid. It's a foolish excuse. Is it true? Yeah, it's really, really true. I mean, but to be honest, people have been hurt. That's what we do. Well, kick them while they're down. Good grief. Well, if you got hurt there, you're probably going to get hurt at our church. Why don't you just grow up? No, how about we just say, you know, I'm so sorry that's happened in the past, but we got a family that's serving God. We're emphasizing Jesus at Crosspoint Baptist Church. Somebody help me out. Amen. And so why don't you come? Let's emphasize Jesus together. Let's learn about Him together. Let's have some joy and some peace together. Yeah, I'm really sorry you went through that storm, but that storm's in the past. And you got sunshine and a lot of pollen and a lot of Claritin we're going to have to take here soon. But yeah, it's good. It's clear skies that are coming. Come be a part with us. What does that do? It helps pull somebody out of a nasty situation that they've been in for far too long. And friend, may I just say this? There are many that are going to sit with that dark cloud over their head for years because no one will reach back and say, you know what? I also was hurt. I was hurt by somebody that was near and dear to my heart and in my life. But you know what? I cast it at Jesus' feet. And they didn't say they were sorry, but I forgave them anyways. I've moved on for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come sit on my pew. Come sit with me. If you want a social distance, whatever, eventually I'm going to put an arm around you and love you just as old times. Come on, join me. Friend, we have to be there for each other. You know why? Look at these four walls. We're all in the same boat. Well, you know, they're in that life stage and we're in this life stage. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. Some might have a little bit more gray hair than the other, and some might have younger kids than the other, but let's just be honest. We're all in this together. So you know what we ought to be doing? Not talking about, but praying for. Not pushing down, helping out. Aren't you thankful? Now look, and I'm going to move forward, and then I was going to try to end early. I even told Brother Steve, I'm going to end early tonight. That didn't happen. But check it out. Is it amazing? Aren't you so thankful that God doesn't kick you and I when we're down? Wow, what a God. What a Savior. He's there for us. He's pulling us out. He's helping us. It's okay, cry it out. We'll get through this together. I can't, Lord. All right, well, let me just carry you then. That's our Savior. God forbid we put off that type of spirit and put on this worldly, mean, bully type of spirit. No, restoration. Now watch what this says, and I'll be done for this evening. Watch what it says here. Verse number 22. And now I exhort you, now watch, I exhort you, encourage you to be of good cheer. Paul, have you looked around lately? Yes, I know. And we got rid of everything on the boat. Yep, I know. But I still want you to be of good cheer. Hey, Paul, why don't you tune us in? Fill us in. Why? For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Paul, have you looked around? There's not been stars. It's a storm. I mean, it's got a name, Euroclodon. I mean, this is before the Weather Channel ever started naming Hurricane Hugo and all these others. It's a long time ago. Started in the Bible. We're going through Euroclodon right now. God says, Paul says, look, I have a trusted source. Remember when I told you we shouldn't sail into it? Yeah, but here's what I'm going to tell you. Because we did sail into it, be of good cheer. No, there's going to be no loss of life. Now, friend, let me say this. In the world that you and I live in, you know what people need from us? That type of attitude. Yeah, yeah. Check it out. We all know Corona 19 was awful. We get it. We understand maybe the guy that we voted for doesn't hold the office we voted for him to be in. Get it. I understand. But you know what the world needs is not us sitting here, oh, woe is me. Oh, I knew it. This is what's going to happen. The storm, we're sinking. The boat's going down. No, the clouds, they're dark. It's over. No, you know what they need? Can I have everybody's attention? Be a good cheer. Go on. We're listening. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. No, be a good cheer. Yeah, but you don't understand now. Now they're saying that we're going to be wearing this. We're going to be doing this. Now we have to get, and the side effects, this is just so bad. They'll be of good cheer. Why? Well, he's still sitting on the throne. Yeah, but Marion County, they just passed and we're going down. Oh, they changed this and it's coming to the schools. It's going to come to the church. The storm. Now be a good cheer. Why? Why? Because God's still in the saving business. Politics are going backwards. Hollywood's going backwards. World's getting wicked. Yeah, we get it. We get it. Guess what? Revelation's still in the Word of God. It's going to get very turbulent. But be good cheer. Why? We're going to live with Him for all of eternity. Amen. Like forever. I mean, forever, forever. I don't really care for so-and-so. Get used to it. Because if you're saved and they're saved, you're probably going to have mansions beside each other and live with each other forever. So it's just the way it's going to be. Be a good cheer. It's going to be okay. Hey, Crosspoint Baptist Church. Be good cheer. We still get to hand out tracts. The gospel's still going forward. God's still in the saving business. I get it. We're in a storm. My health is this. This is going bad. I'm going to lose my truck. I'm going to lose this. I think we might get a divorce. You're in a storm. I understand. Be a good cheer. Why? Because God can help us overcome this storm. If you believe that, say amen tonight. I just want to encourage us tonight. Let's be of good cheer. Yeah, but they're against the police. And they're against the military. I understand. So what do we do? Well, let's support our men and women in blue. Let's just go forward. How they treat teachers nowadays. Well, let's teach our kids to treat parents and adults right. I just tell you, there's always this. Oh, it's now. It's sinking. It's going on. And Paul says, let's just write this thing. This look. It is Titanic. It's going to sink. It's going to be at the bottom, and it's going to rot at the bottom. But I'm just saying, be good cheer. Nobody's going to die. At Crosspoint, be good cheer. If you're saved, things are going to get bad. It's going to get a little dark. But God's got us.
Amen.
He's going to see us through.